Hello and welcome to the Ray Lytle Show. I am Ray along with Tommy. Hey, Tommy.
Good afternoon, Ray.
We got lots of things to talk about today. First up, Donald Trump has made his pick for
it's official now.
Vice President, and it looks like Mike Pence
is the
guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that Donald Trump is trying to just throw this away.
You know, the crazy thing, here's the crazy thing. Mike Pence is one of the most anti-women reproductive rights governors. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't dislike Mike Pence as a governor. There were some things he did very good with Indiana. But he's one of those guys who can't get out of the way of himself when it comes to running a state isn't good enough. You got to get in everybody's business.
Well,
and for
he got in
women's business.
He's one of those that backed that whole religious freedom.
Yes.
Religious bullcrap law.
He got into reproduction rights. He was very anti-women. You know, he also, he's in bed with the Koch brothers. I mean, aren't they, the Koch brothers were funding his thing.
He was one of those that supported, you know, if you don't want to serve gays, you don't have to,
he's very anti-gay, and he's very anti-union. I mean, I just don't understand what, you know, this is why Trump is, as a president, don't we want someone who has a mind that works in a certain way? You know, we want.
Here's what I want as a
president. We want presidents. This is why presidents, I think, are campaign, and usually the person that campaigns the best wins. Because secretly, we all want a president who knows how to campaign well, because we go, hey, this guy's smart enough to become the president. This guy's smart enough to campaign. This guy's smart enough to say this. This guy's smart enough, you know, smart enough to do this and this and this, that it makes us say, you know what? They know how to campaign. They know how to be president. You look at somebody like Trump. Let's face it. He's got women hate him, all right, except for fat, trashy women. And don't get me wrong. There are some beautiful women that like him too, but I'm saying this is the perception, all right? This is the perception that women hate him. The blacks don't like him. Mexicans don't like him. You know what I mean?
There's fringes on all sides that like him. But,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, but I'm saying this is the perception, though, Tom. I'm talking about the perception.
Oh, okay. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm
so
just saying.
So you're trying to get people that are independent or people who are on the fence, or just maybe you're trying to get liberals who don't like Hillary Clinton.
You would think that he would try to find somebody to kind of offset.
Yes.
His
why wouldn't
problems.
You get? Why wouldn't you get a woman or a black person or a Hispanic person? Or someone who has at least been nice to those people in the past.
Is this all official or?
ABC News, ABC is reporting it. They're reporting it. They have made the offer, and Pence has to say yes. And if he says yes, they're going to make it official.
Huh. Okay. Well,
In fact, they're now reporting that he has accepted the offer. They're just holding off because the stuff went down in France right when they were going to make the announcement.
Well, here's what throws me is. He's a showman.
Yeah.
Trump is a showman.
Yeah.
Why is he wasting this before the convention? This just doesn't make any sense to me why he wouldn't keep his powder dry. I mean, so much of this just does not make sense unless he's just throwing in the towel. I mean, to me, this is just a dumb, bad idea.
Well,
it's not the opposite of you. You want somebody that's going to, you know, that people can say, hey, you know, for all of his faults, maybe this guy can, you know, steer him a certain way. But here's a guy who's got his own over-the-top crazy problems. So, yeah, you know, I don't know.
I think he's trying to. I think he's trying to give people. You know, he's trying to instill that thing in their head that a lot of presidents do this. They sort of instill in your head, well, I could die, and this guy will take over for me. You know what I mean? There is that feeling that's what happened.
I'm so sick of presidents that promise so much and say, you know, I really wish there would be a president that would come out there and say, hey, I'll try my best. Here's what I can do. But frankly, there's a whole equal and separate branches of government we have to deal with. Let's be honest, people.
Well, he's rubbed the people that that Trump has problems with, he's rubbed them wrong. Now, there's another group of people that Trump has had problems with, which are people who give a lot of money to the Republican Party. All right? And those people do like Mike Pence. I mean, they do. They are fans of his. We mentioned the Koch brothers. And the Koch brothers have not given a dime to Donald Trump, which gets me to our next thing. Donald Trump is having trouble raising money. You know what I mean?
I think part of that problem was he threw it out there that he didn't need it.
Yes, and that's the biggest. Listen, I think that's the reason he started saying right from the start, everybody else is afraid of me. Everyone else doesn't. Everyone else has to beg for money. I don't have to beg for money. I've got $10 billion. I'll finance my own campaign. So now all of a sudden you're going to people and you're saying, I need money to run. And everybody's going, wait a minute. Whoa. You just said a couple months ago, you don't need money. I'm not going to give you a dime. And the people the one thing that Bernie Sanders, or one of the things that Bernie Sanders did, Trump also jumped on, which is I hate all this big money buying elections, remember?
I think that was one of the things that got people so behind him, was the fact that they were like, he's not taking special interest money.
Well, now he is. That's the thing.
Right, now he's begging for it.
And all those people are going, oh my God, not only is he taking it, he's freaking begging us for it.
Because, and here's another thing that people aren't thinking. It makes you wonder, is Trump really as rich as he says he is?
No. I think that's why he does. You know, he won't release his tax forms. He won't release his taxes like every other candidate does. And I think the reason he won't release them is they're only going to show that his father was worth $200 million back at a time when $200 million was worth, so many billion today.
Right.
And when you look at that, all right, and the fact that he's telling everybody he's worth $10 billion, you got to remember, that $10 billion, when he told everybody that's what he's worth, he put his own personal brand at so many billion dollars. That's what he said. My brand is valued at this. He said.
So basically, he was like saying his futures.
Well, he was saying that the fact that there are big buildings with his name on it and everything, that led to that he had TV shows, that his personal brand was worth this. It didn't mean he had that much money. So if they put out the tax forms, and the tax forms say, wait a minute, this guy's got like $360 million, that's all he's worth, everybody's going to go, whoa, that's like 10.6 some odd billion dollars less than what he said he had. And
right.
It would make people once again go, all right, he's a freaking liar. Just like they're saying now, when they say he said he was going to self-finance his own campaign, he's not. He's a freaking liar. And I also think that, there have been times in the past, and the clips will be coming in the next couple of days, where he said, don't worry, I'll have a VP pick. I'll bring a VP in who will get me more Hispanic votes than we've ever had. Those people will come back to me. I got a lot of supporters who are Mexican, and they're also going to love my VP pick and stuff like that. Well, trust me, they're not going to like Mitt. They're not going to like Mike Pence. They're not going to like him. And the unions, they hate Mike Pence. He's another guy from that Bruce Rauner, Koch brothers, Scott Walker school of destroy the unions and all the rich people can keep their money.
And this is really stupid because there's a lot of union people right now that don't like Hillary Clinton.
And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of former Bernie Sanders voters that don't like Hillary Clinton. And here Trump is alienating all of them by turning to big money and bringing in a guy who follows that whole formula
against. Somebody had to have told him, Ray, that, you're within the last couple of polls, within the margin of error of Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
You're within striking distance, and you're going to have the next bump. You should really make smart decisions. I think they're blowing it.
Well, crooked Hillary, she can't stand up to me. But he just, as long as Trump continues to run his own stuff, you can tell he does not listen to experts. He makes his own decisions, and he makes the wrong ones. And he doesn't strike when the iron's hot. He was grabbing the headlines when it was him versus these other people, these other slimy people like Ted Cruz. When he was going against Ted Cruz, it was easy because they were the way they fought. And now he's got to compete against Hillary Clinton. He's got to he had to compete against the fact that Bernie Sanders would not endorse Hillary Clinton. He has now, but I mean, Trump had to vote. He had to go against that. He had to go against tragedy. He had to go. You know, all these things are taking the headlines away from him. So it was easy for him to get headlines when he was saying these outrageous things that the media was like, "Oh my God, he said what? He wants to ban all Muslims? Oh my God, make that the top story." So it was easy for him to get headlines. Now he's almost like he's almost outshocked us. You know what I mean?
It's like the shock and awe factor is gone.
Yeah.
So what's left?
It's like when I was doing rock radio, we would go into a market and our goal was to be funny. Okay, we always wanted to be funny, especially when we were syndicated. It's like
we had a blast.
Let's just be funny. Let's tell good jokes, and yeah, if we shock some people, sure. But that's not what's going to keep them. And I cannot tell you how many times in my life a radio station tried to bring in competition to go against me, and their whole thing was you just got to outshock him. And so they'd go on the air, and they're you know, walking right up to the line with what they can say when it comes to shocking language. And they're talking about sex more, and they're just trying to shock. They're trying to shock the audience,
but they didn't have that staying power.
Yeah, and they want to, you know, and they want to just shock everybody. Well, after you do that, then people said,
it's like firing off your best fireworks first.
Yeah, people say
before the finale.
People say, well, we've already heard it. Oh, well, they've already. You know, they've already done that. I was already shocked, and then that's all they had. There was nothing. And the thing that we did was we just remained funny. It's like we keep the funny coming. If the shock happens in the funny, then that's not why they tuned in for the first place. They tuned in for the humor.
Yeah, and the rest of it was just bonus.
So, and I think that Trump's got that same way. It's like, oh, we need the shock power, and he did it. He shocked them. It's very shocking to hear a presidential candidate say some of the stuff that he said, you know, especially when he says things like, you know, we're going to ban all Muslims from coming to this country. All the Mexicans are rapists and murderers, and
we're going to make Mexico pay for the wall.
Yeah, Mexico's going to pay for the wall. We're going to build the wall. Everybody knows Mexico's not going to pay for that wall. People have now come to the conclusion he's not even going to build that wall, and he isn't. They know he's not. So they've already been shocked. I don't know what else he can say to outshock them. And I'm going to say this, and some people are going to go, oh, my God, that's horrible. But he had his opportunity with the whole Black Lives Matter, and he had his opportunity with the police shootings. I was truly expecting him to go for the shocking vote because there are people out there that think this. And I thought he was going to go to war with all black people. I really do. And he didn't do it. He actually stood up for Black Lives Matters.
Well, you know...
And so he missed his opportunity there. That's not what he was doing earlier this year.
This is where I give him credit, though. I think he could have took that road. But with the people that do support him, I mean, wholeheartedly, we could have had real serious problems if he would have took that road.
Well, and here's the thing, Tommy, is those people support him no matter what, all right? I think that, listen... The people who support him because they love what he said about the Muslims and the Mexicans and stuff, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to go to Hillary Clinton. There's nothing Hillary can say there's nothing she can say or do that would – she could save an infant of theirs from a burning building. They're still going to vote for Donald Trump. So on one hand, you say, oh, that's kind of cool that he didn't take that road because he realized, I don't have to say that. He might think it or he might not, whatever. I'm not sure he thought the stuff he said before, but if it was primary season, you know he'd go to war with every black person. However, it's not. So this leads me to believe that he's past that shock thing. However, he's not getting the press he got when he was shocking. Now, when you hear that he's doing stuff like that, okay, when you hear that he's not going after all black people and he's sort of standing up for Black Lives Matters, that leads me to believe that, okay, now he's got it. He realized, I have these people, you know, these far to the right people when it comes to immigration stuff. They're coming. They're me no matter what. And maybe he goes, okay, now I've got to start worrying about people more close to the middle. And a way
to do that is to
be more pragmatic.
Well, right now, it's all about the swing state.
Okay, but here's the deal. So he has his way to go after people in the middle. All right? He has to do it.
Right.
Okay. He has to make people who, there are Democrats out there who don't like Hillary Clinton. So he has to go after them.
You're talking to one.
Okay. But a way to do that is to get a vice president who is a woman. Because, I'll explain why that's a good idea. Especially if it's an African-American woman, if it's a woman.
A Hispanic woman would have been.
Yeah, Latino woman. Even though, what's her name, Nikki Haley, who's Indian. And I don't think she's a Hindu, though. I think she's a Christian. But it's still, I mean, he still could have made that pick that was like, wow, that's really, that came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? I wonder if he even made a call to Condi Rice or somebody, just the sort of way they're...
You know, I think he would not want Condi Rice just because...
She's tainted. That would
give people, especially those that are talking about, you know, the whole security issue with servers and all that. He doesn't want to bring... He wouldn't want to bring that in.
There are African-American women that he should have considered, and it doesn't look like... I mean, if you look at the people he was considering, they're all white guys. They're all wealthy white guys.
I'm with you. If he would have brought a woman in...
Yes, because there are people, listen, and...
That would
trust
have just
me, I'm a, I'm a person.
Whole...
Trust me, I'm a person who believes 100% that I think a woman will be a great president. I really do. I think that women are just more centered when it comes to things. I don't think women have that... Yeah, I'm better and bigger than you contest that guys have. So I'm all for women. Now, is Hillary Clinton the right one? That's for people to decide. But there are people out there that are saying, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton because it's time we had a woman president.
Which is very stupid.
But there are people doing it. Whether you think it's stupid or not, there are people, that's why they're voting, okay?
I mean, there are
idiots out there that are saying, I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton because she murdered people. That's pretty freaking...
I was a person who was a real big fan of Margaret Thatcher. I thought Margaret Thatcher did a hell of a job.
Margaret Thatcher had a good press had a good public relations department, I'll tell you that.
Well, she did. She did. But, I mean, she handled, you know, the Falkland War professionally. I think she had a really good working relationship with Reagan. It was the right time for her.
Yeah, it was the right time, and it was a time when the global economy was on an upswing. I mean, yeah, there's a lot. I'm not saying Margaret Thatcher's bad. I'm saying that she had a good marketing and public relations department that reminded us of everything she did, and not just England, but the whole globe. They reminded everybody of how good she did and sort of left out all the bad things she did. And there's a lot of people in England who think that she was a huge mistake for that country. But still, there are people out there that are going to vote for just a woman because we've never had that before. And there are some. I think to some extent there were people that voted for Barack Obama just because, well, we've never had a black person as president. This will show them. They just want, and even in his slogan, hope and change, you know what the change was.
Oh, yeah.
The change wasn't,
I'm not going to disagree with you there.
The change was not, we're going to bring America more liberal. No, when David Axelrod came up with Hope and Change and Rahm Emanuel and those guys, no, the change was we're bringing a black guy into the White House. What would piss off these rich Republicans more than that? So that's what they were doing. Now, you look at Donald Trump. You want to take away those people who are voting for Hillary Clinton just because she is a woman. If you put a woman as your vice president, it's also going to be groundbreaking because people are going to go, wow, no matter what, we're going to break ground. We're going to have a female vice president.
As long as it wasn't somebody crazy like Michelle Bachmann or
Sarah Palin, yeah.
Or Sarah Palin. Let's not go overboard, right?
As we've known, when McCain tried to bring in his own hope and change, she turned out to be a dingbat.
That was a Hail Mary.
But still, you know, he could have at least considered it. It just doesn't even look like he considered it. It looks like he just went straight for. He had these white guys, and I'm just
giving you a perception. Christie was still in there,
yeah.
And you know, as much as I used to think of Chris Christie, I think he's just too damaged goods right now.
Yeah, I used to like Chris Christie, but he's damaged.
But I mean, until recently, he was still out there. Newt Gingrich. I mean. Talk about the Newt Gingrich that stole Christmas. This guy's crazy. and he was being tossed around recently. So, and I heard nothing about any intelligent women out there that Donald Trump had even hinted around. Well, I take that back. Maybe I think he at one time thought of Carly Fiorina, but then, you know, Ted Cruz jumped on that and kind of ruined that for him.
Yeah. I mean, that's a shame. You're right there. Carly Fiorina could have been a pick. Could have really been, just because there are people out there that would say, I'm voting just for a woman. Well, there is, no matter what. Then people would look at it and say, you know what? I'm not going to vote just based on doing something different, because no matter what, we're still going to do something different. We're still, no matter what.
And she had some strong points early on in the Republican primary. I mean, it wasn't like she was, you know, out there with Jeb Bush and some of the other ones. I mean, she kind of held her own there for a while, but Ted Cruz snapping her up and her, it would have looked really bad, I think. I think there was no way to say, hey, you know, she was going to be Ted Cruz's pick. Now I want Carly. So that kind of was out there.
Yeah, and I think that took her away, you know. It's just what people are going to go, well, if Trump wins, we'll have the first female vice president, and if Hillary wins, we'll have the first female president. It doesn't matter, the first female breaking a glass ceiling, so we're good to go. I just think he really missed an opportunity.
I think he's missed a ton of them lately,
yeah.
And like you said earlier, I mean, it's been ripe with the pickings, and he's just not – you can tell he does not have somebody – that knows how to navigate these waters helping him, because just too many missed opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to the next subject, because we have a lot today, and it's I'm trying to keep the show shorter for people so they can download it and get all of it in one listen. Tommy, a person that I am convinced is going to challenge Bruce Rauner for governor.
Ooh.
I have been saying this.
Dick Durbin?
No. I'm saying in his own party.
Oh.
In his own party.
I'm listening, because this is something that's going to be something I haven't thought of.
I've been saying this for a long time. His own comptroller.
Oh, wow.
Leslie Munger. I'm telling you, I've been saying this for almost, how long has it been? A year now. I've been saying that Leslie Munger is going to run against him.
Wow.
Yeah, here's something that's going on. Listen to this.
Since the stopgap budget was signed into law, my staff has literally worked around the clock to get 2 years of accounts set up, address operational issues, communicate with state agencies regarding payment priorities, and to scrutinize Illinois' long-term financial outlook.
Yeah, she's talking about how the fact that it's going to be 10, this is amazing, $10 billion is what we're going to owe. $10 billion.
Since the stopgap budget was signed,
let me get this over, let me fast forward.
Positive step forward, it is a very short-term step. It does not address our larger financial issues and our limited available cash, nor does it provide a predictable funding stream that would allow organizations throughout our state that rely on state funding to plan and budget for the coming year. If we look at the numbers we are facing, the realities continue to be sobering. When new spending authorization for the state is accounting for, we are on track to spend $2.5 billion more than we bring in over the next 6 months. We expect to end the calendar year in December with approximately $10 billion in unpaid bills, which is about $3 billion more than we had last year at the same time. And moving forward, we expect state payment delays to increase to about 6 months or longer. These severe cash shortages mean that my office will continue to perform triage every day to help those most in need and to ensure that we deliver and protect our most critical services in the state.
Yeah, and the one thing they're not talking about is, I'll tell you this, Tommy, you know, every time we don't play somebody, every time we don't pay someone, you know, we're looking at, you know, we're looking at interest mounting. So
yeah, and we're also looking at possible future downgrades too, because
yes.
we're not able to pay our bills on time.
So she's saying that the she's discussing all that, and here we go. State of Illinois spending, and this is according to the Associated Press. State of Illinois spending will outstrip what it brings in by nearly $8 billion this year.
Wow.
The Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability reviewed the budget deal that lawmakers and Bruce Rauner just approved. The report provided to Associated Press in advance of general release found that the state will spend $39.6 billion, including $3 billion in obligations that were not addressed in the six-month stopgap budget agreed to by Democrats to control the legislature and Rauner. That will bring in, and that'll only bring in $31.8 billion. Now, they're saying, they're saying that we're going to really be underneath. Then Leslie Munger announces that the backlog of overdue bills could reach $10 billion by December, basically saying, okay, it's $8 billion here, but you're forgetting the interest of what we owe people. And
right.
when you start looking at $10 billion by the end of this year that we will be behind. Illinois can't.
You're knocking off. You're right there. You're taking out a big. I mean, what do we take in usually? About 31?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're getting close to being, knocking there's, off a third.
There's no way around it. There's no way around it. Both sides know that we have to have a tax increase. If you make more than $1 million in Illinois, your tax rate's going to double. I'm telling you right now, it's going to double. At least it's going to at least double. It might quadruple. You look what they're doing to California. Tommy, people over $1 million in California pay 13% state tax,
and they're not leaving.
No, they're not leaving. We pay what, 3.75?
Yeah.
People making $1 million paying 3.7. Come on, they're going to change that. They're going to move it up, and Rauner knows it. Of course, Madigan knows it. He's wanted it for 2 years. He's wanted it for 5 years. He wanted the remember the temporary increase. He wanted that to be higher.
Which if they could get on board, I wouldn't mind a sunset being on it.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. Rauner knows it. And Rauner, I think, is like, yeah, we'll eventually raise taxes. He's just trying to weigh his turnaround agenda.
His damage control, because
yes.
he knows if he just throws in the towel, he's done.
Well, he knows there's going to be a tax. Rauner knows there's going to be a tax increase.
Right.
He just wants to make sure
the turnaround agenda fight is on for him, is because if he doesn't fight for that turnaround agenda, and he knows what has to be done, and he says and does what has to be done, then there's going to be those red meat crazies out there that are going to say, you didn't do a damn thing, you turncoat.
I'm telling you, he's more interested in destroying the unions. In fact, the guy hates the whole concept of unions. When he says this has nothing to do with private unions, that is BS.
Oh,
he
if
doesn't
he could make
like
this whole
you.
Thing a right to work state.
Yeah.
He would go
he
after
wants
the private
a right
sector
to work state, and he wants
too.
That, and then he'll allow the tax increase. So let me get it right. You want to destroy the thing? You want to destroy the thing that actually gives us a middle class in this state? The people making middle class, they're union members. In fact, that's the only reason they're middle class is because they're union members.
Right.
When it's up to him, he wants the super wealthy, and then everybody else just barely make it, living paycheck to paycheck. And then he's going to allow a tax increase after he makes that the rule, which is insane.
I mean, when he says he wants these zones,
yeah,
these voluntary zones, this is not just
it's BS.
This is not for private or public sector.
It's for every company.
That's for everything.
And the whole thing will be to encourage. He thinks it's going to encourage businesses to say, "Oh, I want to go start a business in that zone, so I don't have to hire union."
Yeah, like people are really going to go do that down in Carbondale because that's not going to happen.
And granted, there are people that can make the argument, whatever, that's fine, whatever, make the argument. But I'm telling you, the longer they hold off doing the inevitable, which is this tax increase, and the longer they hold off the inevitable, which is, and I'm going to say this, and this is also going to get people, but there are organizations out there that rely on state funding that help people. And I've got bad news for him.
She's really setting the plate for herself, because I heard a little soundbite earlier today where she said to the lawmakers that are out there saying, we need our paychecks, we need our paychecks, that you're not going to the front of the line, pal.
Well, Leslie, Leslie Munger's also setting herself up. She's setting herself up as...
She's at the table.
I'm the one who knows the numbers. I'm the one who's constantly reminding you of this. I'm the one who's blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you, you're right. She's setting the table to become... When eventually Rauner... No, there's no way. There's just no way Rauner wins re-election. I mean, you think that there'd be a Democrat in this state that would already be putting stuff out there. I'm shocked there isn't. Unless everybody's just resigned to the fact that it's going to be...
I think it's going to be Lisa Madigan.
It's going to be Lisa Madigan, yeah. But I'm telling you, Leslie Munger, I just have this feeling. And some people might say, no, you're crazy. Leslie Munger is setting herself up to challenge Bruce Rauner.
Is he better? Maybe not just to challenge Bruce Rauner. She's just setting herself up to say, hey, I'm the one that, like you said, she's the one dealing with the money. She knows what's happening.
Yep.
She's setting herself up, like you said, just to be out there to say, hey, I'm the one that can right the ship. I'm the one that's been telling you straightforward where we're at. I'm not lying to you. Here's what we got to do. So, you know, it makes sense. I'm not going to poo-poo on that idea.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't see how she's not. And when I said, it was funny, while I was working at WTAX, I said this, and some people called in and said, oh, you're crazy. Shut up, you're crazy. Rauner put her in there. She's not going to challenge people. I'm telling you, this woman wants to be the governor of the state of Illinois. All right? She really does. Hillary Clinton was in town. Hillary Clinton was in town yesterday, did an invitational-only appearance at the old state capitol. Exactly what you'd expect, you know. Invite only, Democrats only, big supporters only, big donators only. And saying, you know, the message of this is what I'm going to do, and also taking time to say this is what Donald Trump wants to do and why it's bad. I'd love to do more on the Hillary visit, because I think it's really cool that she picked, you know, Illinois to visit in. But she really didn't say anything new other than the fact...
She didn't say anything new. She didn't stop to take time to talk to the... I mean, even though that was an invite only, you would have thought maybe she could have showed up somewhere else in town and gave a stump speech.
Well,
you know,
they squeezed it in. I mean, they literally put this speech in, or this appearance in between like three other appearances that she, in other words, she flew into town, okay? She flew in, got in the car, drove to the old state capitol, and then as soon as it was over, she had time to, you know,
so it's kind of like
get in the car.
Big name bands that come to the Prairie Capital Convention Center. They come sneak in the middle of the week instead of on the weekends, because we don't have a very big capacity.
They didn't even find a way to put in time. They didn't even find a way to put in time. Yeah, to do any kind of even if she walked in for 2 minutes just to get a photo op. They're that squeezed in. So it does make you wonder. Well, why?
Why do it?
But
why waste the fuel?
Well, she did wanted to, and she did get, you know, they were able to record her speech, and it was national news. I mean, the stuff she said was national news, especially when she said this. She said this. I'm going to read this quote to you. She said, we need a president who can help pull us together, not split us apart. That is why I believe Donald Trump is so dangerous. She said the room I'm speaking in now, I'm paraphrasing, is where Abraham Lincoln ran for the United States Senate, and he delivered his House Divided speech in 1858. He said the country could not survive half slave and half free. And then she talked about how the party of Lincoln, the Republican Party, is no longer, you know, that party. The party is now the party of divisiveness. And, you know, she just wanted those sound clips, and she got it, from the place where Abraham Lincoln gave the speech, and then she had to take off.
Yeah, it's, to someone like me, though, it just doesn't...
Wasn't meant for people like you.
Obviously, because there's so many people I don't think, with everything else that was going on in the news cycle, it was kind of just, it was quick, and when she talks about being a, you know, Donald not being able to unite the country, I don't look at her as somebody who's going to unite the country either. So,
this is what you don't get. This is what you don't get. She doesn't have to run telling you that she's the best person at uniting the country. All she has to do is prove to you that she's better than Donald Trump at it. This is what you're missing. When I keep telling you, she's going to win it.
Sad.
All she has to do, is prove that she's a better choice than Donald Trump. And let me ask you, how hard do you think that is? You know,
truthfully though, I hope there's more people out there thinking, is this what it's become, Ray? Is this really what it's come down to? Is it going to be from now on?
Well, listen,
lesser of two evils.
No, we're not going to see Barack Obama like numbers. Okay, those are done. We're not going to see the numbers of people voting that voted for President Obama. We're just not. In fact, if anything, like if we're going to have any record this year, and I really mean this, because some people are going, oh my God, Donald Trump's running. I think we're going to have a record turnout for voters.
Yeah, we're going to have a record of people not voting.
And that's exactly right. I think we're going to have a record of people who are not voting at all.
But I mean, really, and I understand. I know where you're coming from, and I understand that that's the mentality. But do you really want from now on to be going it the lesser of two evils?
Yeah, but I have no choice. No,
Tommy. We do have a choice.
No. I want to be a professional baseball player, but I had no choice when it dawned on me that I don't have the athleticism, the body, the eyesight to do that. Just like this election, I would love to have two perfect candidates where I say to myself, "Well, you know what? We can't lose. My God, no matter who wins, this country is going to be doing great because I believe in both of them. By God, what a hard choice it's going to be." No. I don't have that, so I have to settle for what we have. I'm not a person that believes I'll show them because I'm not going to vote, or I'll show them by voting for a third-party candidate that no one's going to vote for.
But see, if everybody would intelligently think, how are you going to change something? If you continue to let them do this, and you have to say, well, I have to do this because it's...
Change is going to happen in the primary. Change
you
is going to happen in the primaries.
One cycle, vote for the third party.
No.
And when they realize that they don't have that power that one time, they'll change.
Really, how'd that work out for you conservatives when...
Well, I'm not a conservative.
When your buddy J. Ross Perot did it. How did that work out when all those people voted for Perot? How'd it work out? It handed the election to Bill Clinton.
I wasn't a conservative.
I'm teasing you. But I'm saying, how did that work out? People did decide to vote for a third party candidate, and it handed Bill Clinton the election.
But we've never been to the point.
Now, granted, I got to be honest. There was 8 years of prosperity under Bill Clinton. He really was a great president.
I wouldn't disagree with you again. If Bill Clinton was able to run. I would take him again.
Right, getting between these two in a heartbeat. I think people love Bill Clinton. I think Bill Clinton was a great president. Now, granted, personal life was
like
a mess.
But back then, you actually had choices. I mean,
but I'm
I
saying
think that
if
wasn't
a third,
a bad choice.
If you're going to vote for Libertarian, by the way, they run Gary
not
Johnson.
Not necessarily the Libertarian either. I mean, there's the Green Party. And I look at it this way. If this country is not strong enough with supposed equal, you know, separate but equal branches of government to withstand 4 years of a lame duck president, then the founders did it wrong, or something's gone way wrong.
I mean, so you're saying that we should, that's going to somehow help us?
I think that actually it probably could if they realize that, oh my God, our candidate did not win. We just threw away all this money on two people we should have known not to run, and now this, let's just say the Green Party, now has a president. They're now legitimate.
All right, well, let me ask you. Who's the Green Party candidate?
Some lady.
You don't even know her name?
I don't know her name because I haven't had a chance to
Jill
sit down and look
Tommy.
And even realize if she's
Tommy.
Going to even be on the Illinois ballot.
Listen, it's Jill Stein.
Jill Stein. Woman.
And what's the name of the what's the name of the
Libertarian guy? Yes. I just seen him the other day.
What's his name? What is the Libertarian candidate's name?
You got me on that one. It's on the tip of my tongue, but
so
I know exactly where you're trying
to
go with this.
You're saying that we need to vote for a third-party candidate, but yet you can't even name the third-party candidate. It's Gary Johnson, by the way, is the Libertarian candidate. Can't even name for me.
I knew it was a woman,
Jill
so I knew
Stein
I would have looked and seen Jill Stein.
Let me tell you something, Tommy. The only reason that those people were on the tip of my tongue is because I do this show. And so I feel that I have to know that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, if I was not doing this podcast.
I did read about Jill Stein.
If I was not doing this podcast, I wouldn't know their names either because I don't care about either one of them. Because as much as I would love to see it, it's not going to happen. And people
it's
say, oh, but Ray,
money.
But Ray, if you do decide, if we all decide to vote for it, it would happen. No, it wouldn't, because we have stupid people that live in this country. You could tell me all this stuff you want to tell me about. We've got to come together and do this. No, because we still have people who believe the Clintons murdered people. We still have people, Hillary should be in jail. We still have people that are saying, I was abducted by space aliens. Elvis is still alive. We still have these people out there that refuse to believe, that don't possess rational thinking. So we have to go with the choices we're given.
The reason that they put the tabloid newspapers together and stick them up close to the front is because they're real.
Yes. There are people that say, that go to websites that have, like, the Red Flag News and the Conservative Tribune or whatever those conservative news, Young Conservatives News, they go to that and say, well, that's legitimate news, but Associated Press, that's mainstream media and they're biased, or ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, they're biased. It's like, oh my, USA Today, that's biased propaganda. It's like, oh my God, the stuff that you're sharing on Facebook, that's clickbait that is made up to outrage you by playing on that horrible part of your personality that for some reason inspires to continue to dislike certain things and certain people and think a certain way and that you feel bad about, that you don't even publicly mention. These websites are set up to give stuff like that to get you to go to the sites and make money off the ads that are on it, and yet you think that's legitimate, and the actual legitimate, you know, the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, I mean, these actual newspapers and TV and internet outlets that are legitimate, that hold themselves to a certain level, you think that they're the ones that are biased and that they lie to you. Now, let me give you this. They don't lie. They don't lie. Now, will they sway? I think they do. I mean, yeah, sure. It's obvious. It's obvious that Fox News is going to take some facts and they're going to find the most conservative approach to covering the facts. MSNBC has shown that they are going to take the facts and they're going to find the most liberal approach to reporting the facts. That is true. That's going to happen.
And there's
but they are still
play loose,
but
with,
they still are reporting
the truth,
the facts. They're still reporting the facts, and that's the bottom line.
The crazy thing is I really, you know, for as much as I remember of the Clinton years, and I'm old enough to Carter years, and I remember, you know, the hard times that everybody in the country was going through. I do think that he's onto something when he says we need to get a rein on the money in politics.
I think that's something that's across the board. And I'll tell you, I think that's what Bernie Sanders did really well. And I'm telling you, it's what the Republican Party caught on. They made some really smart moves by really playing up that socialist part of Bernie to scare some Republicans from voting against him. But I'm going to tell you what, his message is what next election, 2020, the Bernie Sanders message is what's going to resonate, and it's going to resonate with more than just Democrats. I think there's a lot of Republicans that are going to be on that message of, you know, you're right. The billionaires call all the shots,
and it's time to change. With this unlimited money, it's constant campaigning.
Yeah. And I think that people are sick of it, and I think that's a good thing, but Right now, that's not the case. Right now, we have two candidates. We have two candidates that no matter what are going to be in charge of this country for 4 years. And they're going to have to deal, this is interesting too, they're going to have to deal with a Congress that I feel doesn't like either one of them. I don't think Paul Ryan and the Republican majority House like Donald Trump. They certainly don't like Hillary Clinton. So we are in a situation where we are screwed and getting anything done.
There's going to be some hard times.
The next person is going to nominate Supreme Court justices, and I think that's going to come down to a more important issue than anything else. And
I'm just hoping that it's not a lot on either way.
I'm telling you, if you think by voting a third-party candidate you're sending anybody a message, you're not. The only message you're sending is you don't understand the process.
Right now, I hope that for long life and prosperity, and I hope we can get to 2020 before, you know, we end up with three or four nominations needing to be done.
It is extremely ironic. It is extremely ironic that, like, say, you know, that it wasn't that long ago before people said, Hillary Clinton is president? Oh, my God. Do you know the series of events that would happen for Hillary Clinton to win the presidency? Or people that said, Donald Trump is president? Are you kidding me? Do you know the series of events that would have to happen to make Donald Trump president? You know what? Who knew that those series of events would actually happen? And those are the candidates.
Isn't it kind of ironic that this might be the year of the Cubs, too?
Yes, and the Cubs are still in. Even, the Cubs lose, like, what? They lose 15 out of 20 games, and they're still up by a lot of games in base. It's just, this is just one of those years. We talked about Bernie Sanders. Let me just play this really quick because I thought it was pretty instrumental this week.
Secretary Clinton has won the Democratic nominating process. And I congratulate her for that. She will be the Democratic nominee for president. And I intend to do everything I can to make certain she will be the next president of the United States. I have come here today not to talk about the past, but to focus on the future. That future will be shaped more by what happens on November 8th in voting booths across our nation than by any other event in the world. I have come here to make it as clear as possible as to why I am endorsing Hillary Clinton and why she must become our next president. During the last year, I have had the extraordinary opportunity to speak to more than 1.4 million Americans at rallies in almost every state in our country.
Let me ask you something. Do you feel he's going to do everything he can to get her elected?
No.
You're so jaded. I think he is. I don't think there's any way he wants Donald Trump to win.
I don't think he wants Donald Trump, but I think that Bernie's going to do.
But that is there's the only choices. Well, he's going to do everything he can to make
Hillary
Clinton
win. But he knows that there's so many of his supporters that are just no. They're not going to do it no matter what he says.
Yes or no for you and every person who's listening to this podcast right now. All right? Yes or no. Whoever wins, will they be a one-term president?
Oh God, I hope.
Yes
so
or
I'm
no?
Say yes.
Yes or okay.
I truly believe probably because, I have a feeling the next 4 years are going to be very hard. There's still going to be the division that we have today. So I think that, yeah, whoever gets in out of these two is going to be a one-termer.
Let me tell you something to wrap it all up, because I just looked at the time. Oh my God, we're already at 50 minutes. You know, something that I'm really happy to see that there are people catching on to something I've been saying now since Ferguson. And this makes me happy. And anybody who listened to the old show, and you know that this is something I've always said. Just because you support Black Lives Matter doesn't mean you're anti-police. Just because you support the police, it doesn't mean that you are somehow anti-Black Lives Matter. By the way, just because you support Black Lives Matter doesn't mean that you somehow are, that you somehow think that all lives don't matter. Because those things are not exclusive. And it's so nice to hear other people saying something that I've been saying now since right after Ferguson, and definitely I screamed it very loudly during the whole Baltimore. Remember the whole Baltimore stuff?
Oh, yeah.
This was stuff that I have been saying. And I'm so thankful and hopeful when I hear other people saying this. You know what I mean? That they're saying things like, you can be both. You can support Black Lives Matter and still support all lives. I mean, this whole thing with, I don't think Black Lives Matter, I think all lives matter. You can do both. It's okay. Black lives are part of all lives. That's nice that you think all lives matter. I think it's wonderful. But you need to remember that Black Lives Matter too. And you definitely, even, how can you not, or how can you deny that message from people who understand it more than you? There's nothing that makes me more crazy when I see people who grew up in a life of privilege compared to some of the neighborhoods that the people in that movement have grown up in. And they're very Caucasian, you know. They've had pretty good lives, and yet they're complaining because the Black Lives Matter thing. It's like, you don't have to dislike them so much. You can think it's crazy that some of them go out and stop traffic, and I do. I don't understand the whole, why are these a-holes stopping traffic? Somebody's going to get killed, and by the way, people are getting hurt because they're lunatics driving through it. I don't understand disrupting the roads. That makes no sense to me. But I definitely understand marching, and I definitely understand people saying, hey, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. And it's a bigger issue than just police pulling over black boys. The issue's bigger than that. The issue, and men too, by the way. The issue's bigger than that. Because, listen, police are not just targeting black men all the time. Society is targeting black men. And there's the problem. Also, the bigger issue is that black men, black young men, the majority of them live in very poor neighborhoods. Also, the majority crimes that are happening in this country happen in poor neighborhoods. So, of course, you're going to have a higher police presence in bad neighborhoods. And the fact that black people live there, it is natural. All right, it's natural that they are going to end up getting pulled over more. Now, here's the troubling. This is the troubling thing. The thing I don't like is, I know people who are African American that are extremely middle class or above, okay? And they happen to live in nice neighborhoods. And it doesn't have, I'm not saying it's happening here in Chatham. I'm talking about, there's a lot of places in this country where you are African American or you are Hispanic and you live in a nice neighborhood. That's where the problems come in, because just because you're walking down the street in your own neighborhood, you're getting pulled over. Or stopped by the police or judged by other people that live there. So it doesn't bother me that yes, the police are picking up people in bad neighborhood and they happen to be African American. I think that's something that you can complain about it, you can march about it all you want, but the police are not going to stop questioning African American men in bad neighborhoods that they live in. I also think that the police are probably not going to stop questioning black men who live in a bad neighborhood and happen to be walking through a good neighborhood, all right? But the one thing that they've got to figure out and they've got to stop is, you can't be stopping kids who live in their own neighborhood for simply walking down their street. You just can't do it.
I agree with that. Here's what, you know, on that same note, here's something that I just see right now that needs to stop, and that's people competing for the sympathy or the attention of their cause. When something happened to, like, you know, the gay community, you see certain members of the Black Lives Matter community say, wait, you can't take the focus away from us.
Yeah.
You see everybody.
And by the way, you can. Yes, you can. You can take the focus off. You can take the focus off.
No.
And I also see the other thing that makes me crazy are the people out there who change focus. France was blown up. I'm going to put a France flag up. Oh, gay marriage guy. I'm going to put a rainbow thing up. A police officer was shot. I'm going to put a blue line up. And then doing nothing else. I mean, and by the way, the thing that
that's a perfect example was when we all were doing the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
If you did the ice bucket challenge, but you didn't give the money.
You remember this because you and I did it. Tommy and
right.
I. We were doing the Fat Club at the time. We just gave
and we said we
gave
would $30. Not do that.
We just gave them $30 cash. And by the way, trust me, the ALS people appreciated our contribution more than they appreciated anyone who put water on their head.
Exactly, because me and you said, you know, even if I was to go outside and do it, which I didn't, yeah. I let the other guys on the show do it.
We still gave the money.
We gave the money because that's what it was about. It wasn't about going out and pouring ice water over your damn head and filming it and calling it good.
I am troubled. I am troubled by this, and I'm sure some people are going to be offended, but stay with me, all right? I am troubled by we had police officers assassinated, all right?
Mm-hmm.
That crazy guy who got up there with the gun. I don't even know what kind of rifle he had.
As far as I know, they really haven't said an SKS.
That's what I mean. I don't want to make judgment because I don't know. But all I know is he sat up there. He was trained by the United States Army. He stood up there and he picked them off. He's like a sniper. He assassinated police officers. It's horrible and it's frightening as hell that can happen in this country. My God, it scares me to death. It could happen to anybody, but it happened to police officers. They're wearing bulletproof vests, and they have guns themselves. They're the good guys with the guns, and they got shot. Here's what really bothers me, Tommy. There are people that are going to support them, and they're putting up their blue signs, and I support the police. And on social media, it becomes more about, hey, look at me.
Right.
I can support the police better than you. I can support the police better than anyone. Where the issue becomes, I'm more patriotic and more community-minded, and I love the police more than you. Instead of, let's really look at things to make our police and our society safer. They're more interested in patting themselves on the back for the way that they treat the issue than they are about the issue itself. And like I said, it's not just that. It's gay marriage. It's France. It's terrorist attacks in different countries. It's all these things. In this country, it's terrorist attacks in this country. It becomes more about, look at me. I'm more
so
patriotic. I'm
better
than you.
That's what's so confusing about this attack, Ray, was this young man, for whatever reason he had going on his head.
He's crazy.
He did it at a Black Lives Matter protest.
I'm sure there was a reason why. He was sending a message
around.
Yeah.
That could have hurt his own kind.
He did because he's crazy. And I keep hearing people saying, find the justifications. He's so fired up by the Black Lives Matter.
There's no justification.
By Black Lives Matter, he wanted to shoot police officers. Listen, people, he is crazy. Just like the guy who blaming Black Lives Matter, and I really mean this, and I know there are people who are going to deny it, but I don't care. Blaming Black Lives Matter for that guy shooting those police officers is the same.
It's totally wrong.
It's the same as blaming the movie Batman: Dark Knight Rises because that lunatic in Colorado. You notice I don't say their names. I'm not saying their names. They don't deserve
right.
it. The lunatic in Colorado shot people up in the Aurora, Colorado AMC. Like somehow they do, like you're blaming the movie or you're blaming the theater. No, this guy's crazy. That guy was crazy. That Dylan, what's his, or I'm not going to say his name, the kid in South Carolina, he was crazy. And this guy who shot the police, he was crazy.
Obviously, because he did it, and it was selfish on his, that's what I want to say. He was selfish for taking away the focus of something that was automatically a tragedy and totally took it away, took away the focus and made it something else.
Well, and it's troubling.
It's mind-boggling.
Because everyone takes a tragedy and tries to bend it to where they get to get their issue shoved in everybody's face. It's wrong.
And
it's
my biggest fear is that some trailer park hoodlum is going to think that he needs to stand up for the police.
But the people aren't the only ones taking advantage. I'm telling you, the people aren't the only ones. Every time there's a shooting, I'm so sick and tired of the NRA taking advantage of it, and I'm so sick and tired of the anti-gun lobby taking advantage of it. And I'm just – every single group has to take advantage of a tragedy and somehow
hijack it.
Yeah, make it all about them. Just like people on Facebook make every tragedy about how, well, look how wonderful I am because my stance on this is so much better than everybody else. That's the kind of stuff that should make all of you as crazy as it makes me. All right, listen, we're out of time. We're over a minute. I want to thank everybody for listening. This has been the Ray Lytle Show. We'll do another one soon. Tommy, thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
And let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. It's the Ray Lytle Show right here at SpringfieldTalk.com. If you like this episode, hey, please share it. Share it with your friends. Also, if you really like this episode, directly go to your friend's computer and download it for them. Or grab their smartphone and download it for them. Today's episode brought to you by Elbros Mold Remediation. If you have a wet basement or a wet crawl space, or you notice something smelling in your house, or you have mold under the sink, or you've got these unexplained sinus issues going on, and you also remember, oh, you know, my crawl space was wet last year, why not give Elbros a call? 899-9412. Let Elbros come give a free inspection for you, a free inspection, and then help kill your mold. Elbros, they find your mold, they kill your mold. Thank you for bringing today's episode to everyone. All right, that wraps it up. This has been the Ray Lytle Show. Talk to you guys soon. So long, everybody.